So anymore, when I think of Christmas, the only thing I can think of is Christmas 2006. That was the last one with my dad. He had lung cancer, had been diagnosed in October of that year, and we had Christmas, and everything was great, and we sat around and watched good Christmas movies, Broken Trail. It's a good Western. It's a good Christmas movie. And anymore, that's all I want to watch on Christmas after losing my dad. But that's what I remember. But that was like the end of one side and the last Christmas with my dad. But it was the first Christmas with this guy. He does have legs now. There was a concern when we first... There was a concern when we brought him home from the store that we lost half of him. But so that's really what Christmas is about, the future. And memories are great, and they're great things, but Christmas was about the future. Almost 2,800 years ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." No event proves that more than that first Christmas. Because if you or I were God, and the world treated us the way it treated him, we would have responded differently. If I went to all the trouble to create this world and provide for its people and they disobeyed my commands, scoffed at my messengers, pretended that I didn't even exist, I'd probably send a fiery meteor from outer space to wipe out the whole planet. But God's ways are not our ways. He loved this world so much that he came down to this earth as a human being to be reconciled to man. Even then, if I were God, I would have come at a different time. I would have come at a time like today when there's communication satellites and mass media and Facebook, when they can make an announcement, ladies and gentlemen, the creator of the universe has a word for us, and everybody would know. But God's ways are not our ways. He came 2,000 years ago when information traveled at a snail's pace. He came in the fullness of his time, but very few knew he was even here for a long time. You see, we're always in a hurry, and he's patient. If I were God, I would have come to a different place. 2,000 years ago, I would have gone to Rome, the hub of political activity, or Athens, the center of the intellectual thought. But the wise men came to Jerusalem, the religious center, asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" Because they had learned that God's ways are not our ways. The new king wasn't in the Jerusalem palace. He was in a stable in Bethlehem, that little village that no one paid any attention to. Can you imagine Bethlehem? In this day and age, that would be like saying, "Jesus has come." Well, where is he? He was born in Leon, Iowa. Really? What a strange way to save the world. If I were God, I would have come in a different manner. I would have come as a full-grown man, built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'd be impressive in appearance. The first man, Adam, was born, was created full-grown. I'd have the second Adam come full-grown. His arrival would be accompanied by angels, trumpets, fireworks. Everybody would know that the God of the universe was here. But God's ways are not our ways. He came down to the earth as a tiny, unknown infant. Don't you think the angels must have been shocked that the Creator would limit himself as a human being, reduce himself to come as a baby, so that he would experience everything that we experience? Oh, there was a star, a real bright star in the sky that announced his arrival, but there were only three or four wise men that knew what it was there for. For a moment, the whole sky was ablaze with angels singing praises to God, but only a tiny handful of shepherds heard them. And I wonder if the angels, on the way back to heaven, said, "Boy, that was a downer. all that practice and only five people in the audience, and they were shepherds. Shepherds have no influence, no musical appreciation. We got to get a better marketing campaign. But God's ways are not our ways. If I were God, I would have chosen different parents too. Mary and Joseph were great people, people of integrity, but I would have chosen more refined people, educated people, experienced people who could protect my son. Anybody who's a parent knows how picky you are, well, at least with your first kid, about picking a babysitter or something. You want to make sure your kids are getting the best care they can. But God chose peasant parents who didn't know much about hygiene or rearing little children. Joseph didn't even know how to make a reservation for a hotel in Bethlehem. Mary was a loving mother, but she lost the boy Jesus for 3 days when she took him to Jerusalem. But then God's ways aren't our ways. And this young peasant woman brought forth her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. The baby Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is a fancy term for rags, and laid in a manger. He was born in a barn. The first breath the baby Jesus took on earth had the pungent odor of manure in it. His tiny hands touched the place where cows had slobbered and chewed on, and then he put those same hands in his mouth. And Mary and Joseph didn't know about germs. And you know there were cobwebs and spiders and mice and bats and everything else floating around in there. But God's ways aren't our ways. The Bible says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. If I were God, I wouldn't have dealt with the whole sin problem the way that he did. Because I would be concerned about justice and making people pay for their sins. Anybody who's a parent knows this. You have to make them pay. But God's ways aren't our ways. He decided that he would pay for the sin problem himself and offer to let people go free. When Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were gathered together and laid on him. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. One translation says God was hugging the world. God's ways are not our ways. And aren't we glad? I certainly don't want to pay for all of my sins. I can't even come close. But there's one thing that Jesus did, and I would have done the same. He rose from the dead. We all like that. We like celebrating victories. And Jesus came back from the grave, conquering sin and death forever. But I wouldn't have appeared to the people the way he did. If I came back, the first people I'd appear to would be the ones who put me on the cross. The people who were responsible, the people who gloated and made fun of my death. At the crucifixion, there were people who were jeering and taunting and gleefully dancing around and making fun of Jesus while he was dying on the cross. If I came back from the grave, I'd have gone to them in the middle of their meeting on a Sunday morning. That's the way I would have done it. But God's ways aren't our ways. Jesus' first appearance was to a woman who didn't have much credibility. Her name was Mary Magdalene. The Bible says Jesus had cast out 7 demons out of her, yet Jesus respected her. She was honored to see him first, but she lacked credibility, and many people didn't believe her testimony when she said that she'd seen the risen Lord. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. You see, we're all about impressing people, and God is about changing people. We love to make a big splash, as big a splash as possible, but God usually understates his involvement. That's usually because we're proud and he's humble. There's an old ad for perfume that said, if you want to get someone's attention, you whisper. God got our attention nearly 2,000 years ago with a whisper. He slipped into the world almost unnoticed. People had to search to find him. And I want to leave one thought with you this Christmas season. Look for God in the simple things, not just the spectacular things. We think that if God is going to appear to us, he'll come in some overwhelming, ecstatic, emotional event or some dramatic miracle. And he can do those things. But the prophet Elijah discovered when looking for God that he wasn't in the violent tornado. He wasn't in the fiery explosion. He wasn't in the terrifying earthquake. Elijah found him in a small, tiny voice. I would challenge you this Christmas season to hear his whisper. Maybe to sense God in the expression of wonder on the face of a little child, or the touch of a little baby, or the impressive faith of an older person, or a distant carol, or the goosebumps that crop up on your arm when you hear someone sing a meaningful song. I want you to hear that still small voice say to you, I know everything about you. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the thoughts of your heart. I know every good thing that you've ever tried to do and every hidden sin of your sordid past. And I still love you. And I want you to have my forgiveness. I want to give you a purpose for life. And I want you to live with me forever. It's hard to understand a God like that because he's so much greater than we can ever imagine. Because his love is greater far more than a tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. His ways are not our ways. And aren't we glad? Our way leads to conflict. His way leads to peace. Our way leads to futility, and his way leads to fulfillment. Our way leads to death, and his way leads to eternal life. So as you go away from here, remember, today a son is born to you. His name is Christ Jesus, and he was sent to save his people from their sins. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we want to thank you for tonight and a chance to come and worship with friends and family and to remember you and the sacrifice you made for us with your Son. That you would care so much about us to send the only perfect one that existed for us. People who are far from perfect. We pray, Lord, that you will work and continue to work in us, that we might live up to the example of your Son. And everything we do, people would see you living through us. And then there would be no doubt as to who we belong to. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.